We are now in the village square. As we have already seen, the village suffered greatly during the First World War. It had been occupied since August 26, 1914, but the first German troops arrived on September the 20th. When they came into the village, some soldiers looted two groceries, while others were killing cows and pigs or breaking into closed houses. To cover up the misdeeds of the soldiers and to protect them, the Lord Mayor, Monsieur Juglard, was held hostage and detained for one day and one night at a makeshift post, so that if civilians wanted to rebel against the army rabble, the mayor would be held responsible. Then nothing much happened till 1917. That year, in May, five civilians were injured by the explosion of a plane bomb which had fallen on the sawmill near the station. And on October the 16th, Alfred Canon was arrested because he had sent information to the French army by pigeon post. He was brought before the military courts in Valenciennes, sentenced to death and shot. The harshest months for the village were the last ones of the occupation. In June 1918, 15 bombs were thrown on the station, but they fell in neighbouring fields. In July and August, bombs were dropped on the lock and the village by planes every night, to no avail. The worst events happened in October. From October the 13th to October the 31st, Ors was bombed night and day. Father Trelka wrote, "Shells fall like hailstones. The bombing never stops. It is terrible and intense." The houses situated between the lock and the church all burnt down. Those around the square were destroyed, and the village hall, which was on the site of the present monument, was shattered. The brick town hall with blue stones around the doors and windows and a very steep roof had been built in 1576. It was originally flanked by two towers, on top of which the watch stood, and by a pinnacle with a bell to sound the alarm. At the beginning of the 19th century, the towers were cracking and threatening to collapse, so they were destroyed in 1848. The building didn't look like anything then. There were two rooms, one on the ground floor, which was used as a shelter for the fire engine apparatus, and where benches and trestle tables for the market were stored, and another one upstairs with an oak floor and a worm-eaten staircase, which was used for the council and the payment of taxes. The building had to be demolished one day or another. The war took care of it. After the war, the local councillors bought an estate of 600 square metres, and in 1931 the present village hall was built. Every Tuesday, a market, which was created on October the 8th, 1884, was held in the square until after the war. Thanks to the station, it was within easy reach, and people came from all over the region, even from Valenciennes. Butter, famous for its hazelnut taste, was sold there, as well as fromage blanc, the larron d'ors, a kind of maroilles cheese made with skimmed milk, eggs, vegetable, and even working clothes. The council had even asked a farmer to carry butter to the station from 7 o'clock in the morning to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The first church was built on the site of the present one with a graveyard around it. It was destroyed and rebuilt in 1727 because it was too old and cramped. And then it was set on fire by General Fromentin in 1794. The Austrians had stationed skirmishers in the church tower, and from up there, the enemy could see who was coming in or going out. They could see the French vanguard being changed and could fire. That is why the French troops decided to set fire to the church tower, and the fire spread to the whole sanctuary. The church remained a ruin for 34 years, and during that time, Mass was celebrated in a former brewery, situated between the bridge and the church. Yet the parishioners felt deprived of their church, so in 1828 they decided to start a fund in the village in aid of reparations and transformations. But since there were not enough funds, only the chancel could be repaired, and it was used as a parish church for 30 years. In 1858 it was finally decided that a new church should be built. It was a Roman-style building made of brick and bluestone with stone formerae arches and intersections which were supported by pillars which belonged to the former church. The plans were made by an architect from Barral. In 1918, not only were the church and the centre of the village bombed, but they were also exposed to the crossfire of the English who were occupying the Bois l'Évêque and the Planty, and the Germans who were occupying the Rue Verte and the Rue d'en Haut. The church tower was hit, and only an angle of it remained with nothing to support it. The rubble fell into the nave, which had no roof over it. The church was only a huge ruin. The inside was a mess. It was restored in 1927. Strangely enough, the bell had been left in the church tower instead of being confiscated by the Germans, as was the case in so many other churches. But it was eventually shattered during the bombings which took place on November the 3rd and the 4th. 300 kilos of it were salvaged and stored in the presbytery yard, but one night everything was stolen. On August the 23rd, 1924, a new bell, which weighed 820 kilos and gave the F, was put up even before the church was completed. It was replaced in 1996, but kept thanks to a fundraising done by the inhabitants and put up in the lateral nave of the church. Before concluding, it is important to recall again the heroism of the population. The civilians didn't obey the orders given by the Germans. They defied their threats, braved their assaults, prison even, and refused any cooperation with the enemy. Because of that, 150 men were taken by force and sent to punishment companies, where they were tortured physically and psychologically. Those brave men put up with the torture and were not defeated. Besides a war contribution of 543,266.7 francs, a fine of 20,000 francs was imposed on the village because electric wires had been cut at the Hameau du Cerisier, and another one of 1,000 francs because young people had refused to go when summoned. After taking it out on the civilians, the Germans attacked parents, imprisoning 18 of them for refusing to send up their sons or giving their brothers away. The endless damage caused to the village and the suffering inflicted on the Stoic population were acknowledged as heroic actions. That is why, in 1920, the village was mentioned in dispatches, and on that occasion, the war minister pronounced the following glorious quotation in the name of the government. "This is a village which suffered greatly during the 1914-1918 war and whose inhabitants, in spite of the painful ordeal of the bombings, kept asserting their patriotic feelings and their faith in the final victory of our army." The order appeared in the Journal Officiel on May the 3rd, 1925, and the Military Cross was officially awarded on Sunday, May the 9th, 1926. On May the 18th, 1940, General Rommel's tanks crossed the village on their way from Landrecy. The 5th Company of the 95th Infantry Regiment and the 5th Dragoons were given the order to keep the village under control till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The village centre suffered once again, and the church bell was hit by shrapnel, which cracked it a little. After a while, it became a hazard. The fight was fierce, but the handful of men showed amazing courage and managed to accomplish their mission, though it cost most of them their life. In memory of those facts, the local councillors decided to give some of the streets the names of soldiers who had played a significant part in those events. The canal bridge was renamed Capitaine Dombé Bridge. The square became Sergeant Souris Square. The Rue de Bazuel became Rue du Capitaine d'Arche, and the Rue du Cateau became Rue du Lieutenant Udo. Now, to go on with our tour, you should go up the Grand Rue on the left to our 200 metres and take the Rue de la Gare on the right. After the entrance to the village cemetery, turn right into the Rue de la Louvière before you reach the level crossing, and walk up to the cemetery car park.